Are you all happy? Well, I'll soon change that. I am a bit in trepidation, I have to say. It's quite some time since I last preached. But nevertheless, Chris somehow has trusted me to come and speak with you tonight. And I'm delighted to do so. The Bible study is a great place to be, isn't it? And I nearly spoke when I was praying and thinking about what I might preach on. I nearly preached from the book of Hebrews. I like Hebrews. It's a great book. And in its outline, it covers three specific areas. One, the superiority of Jesus Christ himself, his person. And it tells us that he's higher than the angels. Chris has been dealing with that so recently. And that he's greater than the prophets. And we read in Hebrews that God, who in times past spoke through the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, the appointed heir of all things, and by whom the world was made. Hallelujah. Praise God tonight that we believe and know and have our ears tuned through the Holy Spirit to what Jesus is saying to the church and to what Jesus is saying to us individually. And then it deals with the superiority of Christ's ministry and the superiority of Christ's walk of faith. But however, the Holy Spirit seemed to drag me towards and my attention towards the first book of Peter. And I'm going to use as the text and as my punchline, as it were, from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he, Jesus, is precious. But to those who do not believe, he has become a rock of offense and a stumbling block. Now, when I was looking at this verse, I thought, to be able to say that to us Jesus is precious, or for anyone to say to anybody, you are precious to me, to my mind, it's got to be born out of the building up of a relationship. Not love at first glance, not reaching that conclusion at first glance, but through working at the relationship, we begin to get to a position where we appreciate the person we're calling precious so much more. I'm reminded, just as a little bit of hilarity before I get into the meat of this stuff, that when I was in my first church in Kirkintilloch, and that's just outside of Glasgow, and speaking their language, Robert's smiling, there was a couple in the church called Maggie and Robbie, or Rab as they used to call him. And the church had gone right down over the years, and it was down to eight when I was asked to go and take it. However, Maggie and her best friend had been in the church for a good number of years, but the men never went to church. However, I got quite friendly with them, trying to build a relationship before I was able to talk to them about the gospel. And the way I was able to do it was one of them bred budgies and the other one bred canaries. So I used to go around and say, can I have a look at your budgies, your canaries? And then I'd be saying, how long does it take for eggs to hatch? What do you feed them on? What do you do? Et cetera, et cetera. And eventually they came to the church. And that was quite good. So, but Maggie and Rab reached their 50th wedding anniversary. A precious anniversary, you could call it. A golden wedding anniversary. So I thought I'd ask them in front of the folks a few questions. So I said, Rabbi, 50 years married. What have you got to say about this woman? Has she been a good wife? Oh, och, I said, she certainly has. When I come home from work, my tea's on the table. And when I look round the house, she's cleaned it from top to bottom. Do you need an interpreter for that? Better say it in English the rest of the time. So he was delighted that she looked, the kids were clean, washed, clothed, the cupboards were full of food. And he said, so I've no complaints, son. So I said, oh, that's good. So I said, right, Maggie, what about you? How about Rab? Has he been a good husband? Oh, yes, aye, she said. Well, when he came home from work on payday, he'd bring me his pay packet and made sure I had enough money to fill the food, to buy everything we needed, to look after the kids, pay the rent. I said, oh, that's great. And he never had a day off work. Fabulous. And then she said, so yeah, he's been a good husband. I said, well, that's fantastic. And I was just about to continue, and when she said, hold the new, hold on a minute. She said, there's just one thing. I said, what's that then, Maggie? She said, well, I just wish he'd have told me a little bit more often that he loved me. So immediately, he jumps in to his rabbi and says, what? What, woman? Did I know when I met you and asked you to marry me? Did I know buy you a nice ring? Aye, you did, Rab. And when I came down the aisle and the minister asked me to say my vows, did I know say them? Aye, you did, Rab. And when he pronounced his man and wife, did I know put a ring on your finger? A wedding ring? Aye, you did, Rab. And did I know kiss you on the cheek and say, I loved you? She said, you did. Well, he said, look, if there'd have been any change from then till now, I'd have let you know. So it takes a while sometimes to get to call somebody precious. I don't know whether they ever reach that stage, but there we go. But to you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. And why do we start on the road, or how do we start on the road to reaching that point? And in chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle Peter says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Indeed, in the word, and that you may grow, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. When we're first born, we rely, don't we, on our parents to feed us with milk. Then the Heinz baby foods pre-prepared come out. And then we go on to solid food. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, you know, it is by grace that you have been saved, not of your own self. It is the gift of God. And he went on to talk about that we should move on to strong meat. And that's where we sort of get into the realm of preciousness, because we've been fed on the milk of the word, we're feasting on the meat of the word, and we reach these situations. But there's a challenge there from Peter, you know. Desire the sincere milk of the word. And then he throws a challenge at them, does he? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So he's doing a recheck with them. He's writing, of course, to Jewish Christians, new Christians, but mainly to Gentile Christians. And he's really just double-checking, have you been born again? What a great sort of challenge it is. And sometimes people, you probably know people who've gone to church for years and years, they've sat in the same seat, they've gone week after week, but never ever made a commitment to Jesus. And certainly never got some into the milk of the word and the meat of the word. But he goes on to say, but you, why have you got to do all this? Because you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a great privilege that, isn't he? We are a chosen people. You know, the Jews were chosen as God's own, but because they rejected him, as we know, I know I'm talking to the converted tonight, but because their rejection, we had the opportunity to be grafted in and have equal status and can call ourselves a special people, chosen by the Lord God himself. So then in 1 Peter 1:18 we read, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Whoa. More powerful. The blood has always been the only currency that God would accept. Even in the Old Testament, we know that there came along the lamb without blemish and without spot was sacrificed, and the blood was painted over the doorposts and lintels of the houses. And when the angel of death came, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But from New Testament perspective, we realize that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. I love that last song there. No wonder we can give our praises to the Lord and demonstrate. So the precious blood. Last week I was thinking those songs will be fine for me. Would you be washed in the blood of the Lamb? And another one that I've not heard before about the promises of God. But however, for the fourth point, I want to say from 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, oh, we did not deserve mercy. We did not deserve his grace. But nevertheless, he showered it upon us. So we were begotten, the scripture says here, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection. Thank God we preach and teach in this church the resurrection of Jesus, for without which everything else would be a failure. If Jesus had not rose from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, then it would have never continued. The gospel would have failed, and God would have failed. But then God never fails because he knows what he's doing. But it goes on to say, we are kept by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So in this you greatly rejoice, though now, even for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, how many people talk about the trials they're going through? Trial of sickness, the trial of poverty, the trial of a traumatic event in the life, or whatever. And it's true, I think we see everything like that every time everything's not going smooth. we see it as a trial. The devil, on the other hand, sees it as a temptation. And we often pray, don't we, Lord, lead me not into temptation, in that famous prayer. But God sees it as a test. So though we might have had to suffer, not that we will necessarily suffer, but possibly we might. And that is so that the genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold tried in the fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory and revelation of Jesus Christ, in whom you've not seen, but you believe, and in whom you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So when we think about that, you know, our faith, and that's a gift of God, we tend to forget sometimes. We say to each other maybe, oh, come on, exercise your faith. But the gift of faith is from God himself. And the Holy Spirit can boost at times, and does without certain dose to cause us to put our trust in the power of the living God. And finally, I want to talk about the precious promises of God. So we've had several promises there. We've had the precious blood, precious faith, precious person of Jesus as our Savior, Lord and Master, as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just want to look for a moment at the precious promises. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and goodliness. He's got the tools, we are the vessels, and he gives to us the tools. When I was thinking just a few minutes ago, you know, about the precious blood of Jesus being so strong as well, but the purchasing power of the blood of Jesus also tells us we are not our own, we have been bought with a price. And sometimes we behave as it's all down to us. We do what we want, when we want, if we want. And sometimes we ignore the instruction of the Holy Spirit to grow in the knowledge of the truth and to exercise our trust in God. So he's saying he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. You know, thank God that we're in the fortunate position, unlike those who don't know him as their own personal Savior, of being able to look at all those things he's provided for us. Everything we need for living this life and fighting in the spirit everything that comes against us, put on the whole armor of God. Somebody was preaching on that not long ago. But it's tremendous. When we get to the precious promises, just let me, I'll just glance through because time's whipping on and I need to be a good boy and finish in time. He has promised to remove our sin. When we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And his promise to us is that he will remove our sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Some people never forget, do they? You've probably been on the end of somebody's, I'll never forget this. I'll never forgive you. Blah, blah, blah. I had a very difficult upbringing when I was younger. I was an only boy. So everybody, an only child. And everybody thought that I was a spoiled mummy's boy. But I was anything but a small mummy's boy, because she always wanted somehow to put me down. When I came home from school and wanted to play out, it was yes. When you've cleaned your bedroom, or when you've cleaned the lounge, or when you've cleaned this, that, or the other, or when you've prepared the meal for us tonight. And so as it's dropping dusk, and now you can go out to play, but, oh, you've just got 15 minutes to play out, then I want you back. And on one particular day of the week, I think most of you are probably going to, this will resonate with you, what I'm going to say now. One day of the week, it was Clean the Brasses Day. And you remember those? My mother had nearly 100 pieces of brass. One of them was Three Monkeys, and she used to drill that into me. Look, you hear no evil, you see no evil, and you speak no evil. Have you got that? And if I hear, you'll never hear the last of it. And then she used to have one plaque, which was called Mother. A brass plaque, highly polished by me when I cleaned the grasses. And she stood me in front of it week after week. And although it's 70 years ago, I could look, she used to say, now, come on, read it. And it was, it's a wonderful thing, a mother. Other folks may love you, but only your mother understands you. She looks after you. She takes care of you. And then the only thing she ever does bad to you is to die and leave you. And I used to be thinking in my head, where's 20 pence for the gas? Make sure it keeps going. I have asked for forgiveness for that over the years. So he said he'll remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Though we can't see him, even initially we've trusted in him because of the gift of faith. We've been saved by grace through faith. He has said that he is our healer, Jehovah Rapha, that he is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. He said he is a very present help in times of trouble. Where's the first point of call that we need to go to, folks? To him. Because he is a very present help. No dialing 111 or 999 or whatever. Get straight to the source of the help. He also says, and I think this is a tremendous one, isn't it? He says, my peace I'll give you. Not a peace that the world gives, but a peace that passes all understanding. Now that is more precious than silver and gold or anything else, to have the peace of God. You know, some people are so troubled that they have no peace, and for years and years and years and years, till they're in older age, they never have found peace in their heart or in their lives or in anything else. I was struck, I think it was a couple of Saturdays ago, on one of the football programs, the one they have on early at looking at the days. And there was a young fellow there, and I wish I could remember his name, and I should have wrote it down and tried to look at it. And he's got every success that you can imagine. He's signed up for a Premier team, and he's got good salary, he's got everything he wants, family support, the support of the manager of the club, etc. And he says, so you're short of nothing then? So he said, yeah. He said, there is one thing. And they said, what's that? He said, I wish you knew what was going to happen to me when I die. And I said, oh, so I got on my knees right there and then and prayed for him, but I thought I should have made a note of it. and tried to get in some way an email to him or know where he is and put someone in touch who could go and share with him. But a tremendous revelation. And then he's promised that when we repent, he would give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that there are many gifts of the Holy Spirit, apart from the nine that we shout a lot about, the power gifts. There are nine power gifts that are essential for the progress of the body of Christ. So you know what they all are: tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, etc. But we have other gifts. And the Spirit helps us to use those gifts. And so that we might be in a cafe and we can witness, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest of the job. All you're asked to do, or we're asked to do, is to talk to somebody, like we've been reading through some of these scriptures, about the passion and the glory and the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So little wonder that Paul says, seek earnestly the best gifts. What are the best gifts? Now, I love nine power gifts, always have done since first I learnt about them when I was very young. But I know that they are given for the edification, the building up, the comfort of the body of Christ, the church. And so the scripture says about that, that about the Holy Spirit, that those gifts, he distributes them severally as he wills. So when we're saying, what are the best gifts, Paul? It's the gift that's needed most appropriately at the appropriate time. And so I just trust that we will, you know, just be grateful tonight and glad that we are in the family of our Father God and Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and that he has made contributions that will keep us on the straight and narrow, feed us, help us, use us to extend the kingdom of God. Amen.